welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today.
Over the Moat 2017 starts tomorrow morning. Be daily from 9:30 to 3 p.m. at the First Baptist Church in Brayton, Iowa. We look forward to seeing you. That's ages 4 through the 12th grade. Once again, that starts tomorrow morning. Please plan to bring a sack lunch and a drink with you each day. The cost is free. We hope to see you starting tomorrow morning at 9:30 to 3 p.m. daily, the 24th through the 28th in Brayton, Iowa.
Thank you. truth gives unto each day what he deems best. Loving it as part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour.
I invite you to open your copy of the Word of God today to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Before we jump into the text this morning, let me again express my... We're going to jump right back into the text on Elijah. Last Sunday we were in 1 Kings 19 and we looked at verses 9 through 18. And we saw God's question to Elijah. As you recall, Elijah had fled. He was living in a cave when God came and he spoke to him. And asked him this question. And I stated last week that life is full of questions, important life-changing questions. And it's interesting that God asks Elijah here the same question twice. And he says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" We looked at the four pillars of God's question. The first pillar was that this is a pointed question. That God says, "What?" And it's the idea of asking Elijah, "What are you really doing here?" And the second was that it's personal. And that God said, "What are you?" It wasn't, "What is so-and-so doing?" It was, "No, Elijah, what are you doing right here, right now?" It was a personal choice Elijah made, and God made it a personal question. The third pillar is that it was a practical question. God asked, "What are you doing?" And it was implied that Elijah had something else that he was to be doing, and he was not doing it. And God says, "What are you doing right here, right now, in a cave for me?" And we'd answer, obviously, that he wasn't doing much of anything. And the fourth pillar is that it was a precise question in which God specifically said, "What are you doing here in this place?" In a cave all by himself, there wasn't much that he was doing for the Lord. There was much that God had him to do. We close our time in God's Word with this reminder. May we be reminded that God asks us questions not because he does not know the answers, but because he wants us to realize where we are and how we got there. You should be in 1 Kings chapter 19. Would you look with me this morning at verses 19 through 21? Would you join me in standing this morning if you are able as we publicly honor the reading of God's Word? Follow along in your copy of Scripture as I begin reading in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. So we departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him, and he threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back to him and took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's instrument and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and he followed Elijah and became his servant. You may be seated. Today we're going to see the next prophet whom God is calling into ministry by the name of Elisha. We're going to see him step onto the scene and begin to follow Elijah. The name Elisha, just in case you don't know, means God is salvation. And it's very important that you understand that as you look at the life of Elisha from here on out. Apparently, Elijah went directly in obedience to God's instruction from last Sunday morning. We saw that God had told him that he was to go and to anoint Elisha. And apparently Elijah went and did exactly as the Lord had instructed him to call this young man. And it's obvious to us that this young man was a great help throughout the remainder of the years of Elijah. And he was a huge asset to Elijah in ministry. Toward the end of Elijah's ministry, much can and probably is in part to the fact that Elisha was his assistant. It's really easy to jump forward and to look at the ministry of Elisha and realize that Elisha had an excellent ministry. And part of that was because he had learned from Elijah. And when Elijah departed and Elisha continued on his own, he did very well for the Lord. And so with that, let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Father, would you help us now as we open up the Word of God, that you would reveal yourself to us through the pages of Scripture. Father, that the truth of God's Word and the truth of what took place in this passage with Elisha and Elijah would be something that we can take away even this very week and apply to our own hearts and lives. Father, be with the message that you've laid upon my heart. Father, hide me behind the cross that the Word of God would go forward. Father, there is someone here today that needs this message, and you knew who that person is. And so, Father, I ask that you would remove the distractions from our minds, that you would help us to focus in on the Word of God, that we would leave today here challenged and changed, that the Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of us as he does every time we open the Word of God. And, Father, may we be attentive to listen and to obey. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Elisha, Dead Cows, Burnt Plows, and the Call of God. Dead Cows, Burnt Plows, and the Call of God. I want to give you a disclaimer. I don't often do this before I start a message, but I will give you a disclaimer. God doesn't call everyone into full-time Christian ministry. And all God's people should say, Amen. God doesn't call every single person into full-time Christian ministry. And I'm thankful for that just as you are. But God does call everyone into a ministry. Into a specific ministry. Into a ministry that is multifaceted. God has called every single one of us to the ministry of the Great Commission. Every one of us has the obligation to be sharing the gospel, to be making disciples. Scripture tells us in the New Testament that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us a ministry. Whether you're in full-time ministry or not, doesn't matter. You have a ministry. I want to jump into this passage this morning with your understanding of that right away. As has already been stated in our service, camp means a great deal in the life of a young person. I remember growing up not knowing what really God wanted me to do with my life. And perhaps you were like me growing up. You had ideas of what you wanted to do. I'd always dreamed about being either a lawyer or an English teacher. That was what I wanted to do. I love studying the English language. I love speaking. But I remember growing up in high school that life began to drift away from that. And it was the summer of 2007. I was at Iowa Regular Baptist Camp during senior high camp of that week. That particular week, a very dear servant of God who now, because of some circumstances, is not able to be involved in ministry as much as he would like, by the name of David Witcher, spoke that week. To this day, I remember the message. But what I remember was, more importantly, when it came time for the invitation, and he mentioned something that I could not get out of my mind. And he made this statement: if you don't know where and what the Lord is leading you to, perhaps he's calling you into ministry. And I remember as a young person in high school sitting there and trying to reconcile all of the thoughts that were running through my head, the emotions of the moment and what God had been working in my life and helping me to see. And I remember on that particular night, I told my father, who happened to be my counselor that week, I said, I think God's calling me into full-time ministry. I don't know who was more excited, me or him. But I remember on that particular night in July, I remember going back to the back of the room and making a decision, a commitment to God, to go into full-time Christian ministry. And I would say it to you this way: the job of being a pastor isn't a job. It's a calling. It's not a punch in on Monday and work from 8 to 5 through Friday and then take Saturday off. It's a 24/7 calling that God gives you. I was even happier when I realized, and I didn't know it until after the fact, at the end of the week they have a big bonfire. And they have people come forward. And on that particular night, the camp director had those that God felt was calling them into the pastorate or church planting on one side, and those that felt God was calling them into missions on the other side. And I remember going down and standing in what seemed to be a rather large group of people. What I didn't know was behind me was my wife. And I say that because it's important that you understand that God doesn't call everyone into ministry. But whom God calls into ministry, he equips. He gives them the ability to do what he wants them to do. He enables them to do things that they could not do on their own. And I tell you today, I'm not the pastor that I wish that I was, but I'm the pastor that I am, because of God and because I have somebody behind me supporting me to fulfill my calling to ministry. And when you come to this passage of Scripture, it's hard. I say all that not to bore you, but I say it for a reason. The call of God is something that's hard to describe. If I asked you this morning for a definition of the call of God, some of you would struggle. What is the call of God? How do you know what the call of God is? I want to give you a definition, and this doesn't do it justice. But what is the call of God? The call of God starts through the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, burdening them for a specific ministry or vocation, perhaps a missionary, a church planter, a pastor. That person then must acknowledge that God is speaking to them, and in turn, respond to in obedience to God's calling. To fail to do so is to end up like Jonah, and you're running from God. The call of God is confirmed in many ways, and this is not an exhaustive list, but I look back and I saw God in my life confirming all these things. He confirms it through prayer. As you read the Word of God, with godly, mature, spiritual people around you who see God at work in your life, directing you in a direction. All of those are confirmation that God's calling you. But sometimes it requires you to give up the things that we want. God's call is not easy. Sometimes it's possessions. Sometimes it's comfort, family, relationships, to follow and fulfill what God has perfectly planned out for our lives. Now I want you to go back to the passage this morning in 1 Kings chapter 19. In our text, you know, Elijah fled in fear from the face of Jezebel after the episode of fire on the altar at Mount Carmel, yet the Lord ministered to him and he journeyed with God, and his first stop was in a field. And you notice in verse 19 that there was a man by the name of Elijah working in the field with yoke of oxen. I want to share with you this morning that God can call farmers into the ministry. And he has. And I'm here to tell you that some of those men that God's called from the field of work and dirt and sweat to the field of souls have been great and wonderfully used by God. But God calls this farmer by the name of Elisha into work. And I want you to notice the text of Scripture, some things about Elijah before, or Elisha before we even get into this. Notice verse 19. So he departed from there and he found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing. I want you to notice something about Elisha from the very beginning. Elisha is a hard worker. He's determined. Notice this. It's not just that he's working. But you say, well, why is that important? God's not going to call somebody into his service that's lazy. I have a dear friend of mine who went to college with me, desired to be a pastor, still this day wishes to be a pastor. But you know what? I've learned something about that man. He tends to be lazy. And I'm not saying that that's the reason why he's not in ministry, but what I am saying is this. God will use people, hard-working people. He wants hard-working people, and he chose Elisha. And it's a reminder to us that God is not looking for lazy people because the ministry is not an easy job. You look at the life of Elijah. Did Elijah face problems? You bet he did. Was Elisha going to face problems? Fast forward and read 2 Kings. You bet he is. It's not an easy job. He calls workers who are really ready to put forth energy and effort. Elisha was going to be the successor of Elijah. Imagine that. Elijah cast the mantle on him. You read there, as he walked by, he threw his mantle on him. And Elisha recognized this gesture and gave an immediate response, asking only to bid farewell to his parents. His immediate response indicates for us that his heart was inclined toward the things of God. He was willing to be obedient. Elisha then killed the cows, he burnt the plow stocks, and he kissed his family goodbye, and he journeyed on according to God's will for his life. And I want to preach for you this morning, Elisha, dead cows, burnt plows, and the calling of God. When Elisha left his old life, he destroyed all the remnants of his old life and totally surrendered to God. I want to share with you this morning three aspects to consider about Elisha's decision to follow God. You come to this passage this morning, you see, why was Elisha ready to respond to God's calling? The text doesn't tell us exactly. I think there's a couple reasons that we can deduce from Scripture. One is this. Elisha was in tune with the things of God. That is the idea that he was in right standing before God, so God could call him. Number two, somehow, we don't know when, we don't know where, but somehow God let Elisha know of what was coming. He doesn't even seem surprised at this. Notice the text of Scripture, verse 20. And he left his oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you." Somehow, and I personally believe that God had let Elisha know this was coming. I don't know how, I don't know when, but his answer indicates that. Somehow he knew this. So let's jump into these three aspects to consider. Every Christian should have the desire to follow God, amen? No matter what, and no matter where he leads them, whether it's full-time ministry or not. And every one of us should be willing to serve him, no matter what the cost, no matter what it requires of us, our time, our talents, our money, whatever it is, we should be willing to follow God. Elijah is at the end of his trail, at the end of his ministry. A mighty prophet of God, he's nearing the close of his ministry. There's only a little bit left of his ministry. He's challenged the wicked King Ahab during his ministry. He's prayed with such power and to God that it stopped raining for 3 years and 6 months. He became the second man in space after Enoch. You know, it says in Scripture that God took him. And he was so important that he met Moses and Jesus at the Transfiguration. Elijah was a very important man. Elijah was commissioned by God to choose Elisha as his successor. And I want you to notice as we jump into this, some things about Elisha. Elisha was a successful farmer. Somebody said a long time ago that there are no medium farmers. You're either poor or you're a rich farmer. That's just the way that it works. There is no in-between farmers. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Elisha was a very successful farmer. Notice the text of Scripture. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And this is hard for us to understand because to us, and maybe we don't fully grasp it, but cattle in that day and age were expensive. And to have, as Scripture records us, 12 yoke or 12 sets of oxen. That's 24 oxen. That'd be the equivalent today to a John Deere quad tractor. This guy had it well. Not everybody had this. He was a good farmer. He was successful. And he's out plowing when Elijah arrives. Evidently, he was successful and he loved doing things in a big way. Notice the text of the scripture. It's not as though Elijah goes to his house and the servants are out plowing. This is a guy that likes to get his hands dirty. He's out there. And it says in scripture that when Elijah passed by, where was he? He was with the 12th yoke of oxen, not supervising, but actually working with them. He loved what he did. But now his life is going to be completely turned around. And he's never going to be the same. So let's jump into this. The first aspect to consider about Elisha's decision to follow God. The first aspect is this, Elisha's call. Elisha's call. Let's look at verse 19. It says, so we departed from there, that is Elijah, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. I want you to notice, back up to verse 16 with me if you would. Something about Elisha. Also you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimrod as king over Israel, and Elijah the son of Shaphat over Abel-Meholam, and you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Something that about Elisha's call that's interesting to take note of is that God knew Elisha before Elijah arrived. God knew Elisha before Elijah arrived. Why is that significant? Because if you look at the text of Scripture, that implies that somehow, at some point in time, that God had already informed Elisha of what was coming. Out of the blue, God would not just mention his name. I don't know if you stop and think about this, but at some point in time, God made it very clear to me that God called me into ministry. At some point in time, it had to have dawned on Elisha, God specifically spoke to him, I'm going to call you into ministry. Based upon even his answer, we can gather that. But God knew him before Elijah even arrived. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Put a bulletin or a note in here. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I want to read a verse of scripture for you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The Lord called Elisha before Elijah even announced it. God had already called him to do this long before Elijah even got there to announce it. Not only that, but God used Elijah to tell Elisha of God's calling. I'll never forget the words of an older gentleman from my father's church who is now with the Lord. I remember he and his wife faithfully leading junior church for years. And I remember on one particular Sunday, his wife was not able to come and was not able to do the Bible lesson. And he asked me to get up and lead a lesson. And I think I was probably in fourth grade at the time. And I was just as nervous as could be. And all I had to do was read scripture. And I remember a comment that he made to me following that. And he said this. He says, I think God could use you to be a pastor someday. And as a fourth grade kid, no way, I don't really want to do that. But that comes back to me even to this day. That the Lord was trying to tell me. God used his servants to fulfill his will. Notice scripture. This is such a beautiful passage of scripture. God used Elijah. Elijah's not done. Elijah is going to mentor Elisha. He's going to teach him. He's going to train him in how to do the things of God. It's not as if God called Elisha and Elijah just, he's taken up right away. God used Elijah to teach Elisha. It's a reminder for us that we should be open to the ministry of the servants of God. Elisha was open to be ministered to by Elisha and vice versa. The Lord called Elisha to serve when he was busy. Notice what he's doing. I don't know what season it was. Doesn't tell us in Scripture. But as I learned a long time ago, there is never not a season for farmers. If you're not planting, you're fixing. If you're not fixing, you're harvesting, and vice versa. There is always a season. Farmers are always busy. God called him when he was busy. God often calls, and he often calls us to leave behind the things of the world to serve him. We need to look at a second aspect of Elijah's call by God. The second aspect is this: Elisha's conflict. You ever been conflicted and not known what to do? You're standing there in the grocery department of Walmart, in the frozen food section, in the ice cream aisle, and you're looking at all of the ice cream tempting you behind the glass in the cold freezer. And you're standing there and you're looking at it and you're asking yourself, am I going to have chocolate cones today or am I going to have ice cream sandwiches? And so somebody walking down the aisle passes you and you turn and you look at them and go, what do you think I should get? You know what they do? They reach in there, they grab something and throw it in your cart and you go on with life, right? And we laugh. When it comes to the call of God, sometimes conflict is a very difficult thing. We're conflicted. He was conflicted as he considered God's call. Choosing to follow God is not as easy as choosing ice cream in a cone or in a sandwich. Choosing to follow God and to obey his calling sometimes is very, very difficult. The call of God, it always creates conflict in our lives because we are selfish people by nature. We want our way in our time according to our plans. And God says that doesn't always work. I don't see it in the text. I don't think it happened, but you think Elisha wanted to get that field done? In his own mind? Probably. Elijah reminds Elisha that the call was from God. Notice the scripture here. He walked by him and he threw his mantle on him. We don't know a whole lot about that. That doesn't happen today. You don't just walk by somebody and throw your coat on them and, hey, you're going to be a pastor. Doesn't work like that. But this was an outward sign by the man of God that God was calling him into ministry. Elisha would know that, and so would the people around him. So he walks by him, and he makes it very clear, God has called you. Now you need to respond. And folks, I would say this morning, ultimately we are all responsible to God for what we do with his call and the work of his Spirit in our lives. God has called all of us to the ministry of the Great Commission. What you choose to do and how you choose to respond and how the Holy Spirit leads in your life in doing that is different for everyone. But we're all called to be ministers of the gospel. God's call demands a decision to follow him. Notice this. Elijah passed by him and he threw his mantle on him. And I get the idea that Elijah, he walks by, throws it on, and he just keeps right on walking. Elisha has a split-second decision to make, doesn't he? Throw it off and go back to plowing, or go towards Elijah. Notice the text of Scripture, and I find it interesting. He left the oxen, and Scripture makes it very clear, he ran after Elijah. We don't usually run toward the things of God, do we? When God asks us to do something, we don't run towards it. We run away from it. God demanded a decision of Elisha. And consider some of these things. Moses, and I want to go back to an Old Testament passage. Moses had to leave his sheep when God called him. He was tending sheep. God says, I'm going to use you. Me? Me? You're calling me? God, I can't do that. I can't talk. God says, yeah, I'm going to use you. Go to the New Testament. You find Jesus. He walks by the sea, and there's a man by the name of Simon Peter. And Jesus says, leave your nets, leave your fish, leave your boats, follow me. and Peter chose to follow. I want to share with you three problems that Elisha faced regarding God's call. Three problems. As I said, there is always conflict when it comes to the call of God. Notice the first of these problems. Number one is parents. The first and only two names mentioned of anyone that he says he needs to say goodbye to are his parents. Jesus said in the New Testament that no man having set his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand something. This was not a wrong request by Elisha in this passage. It was an honorable one. Showing your parents respect was what he was asking. Can I show my parents respect? And Elisha says, yeah, go right ahead. But his parents, sometimes the reason why we don't like to follow or to do and be involved in the calling of God, why we don't want to say yes is this. Because our loved ones are more important than God. Our loved ones are often the ones that make the decision for us. I've heard tell of many young people that feel God calling to the mission field, and they ask their parents, what do you think I should do? And their parents say, no, we want you to stay here. Don't, just ignore that. Elisha didn't care what his parents thought, but he did care what God thought. And he knew God had made it very clear. Not only that, consider with me another problem. The position. Problem number two, the position. Who's going to manage the farm? Notice the text of Scripture here. It says that he's out working, he and his servants. We know that from verse 21. He's out working. He is, if I can say it this way, he is the head farmer. Everybody else underneath of him is hired hands. And so this position, who's going to manage the farm? Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to take care of things? We know from the text of Scripture that he's been successful. What's the guarantee that anybody else after him is? So his parents, his position. Number three, power. You know from verse 21 that there were servants underneath of him. We know that very clear. There were hired hands. He was in control of all of those servants. What he said was what they did. If he wanted that field worked up, he had the ability and the power to make them do it. To surrender the calling of God took him from being the one in charge to him being the one not in charge. He became a servant of God. Where God said go, he would have to go. What God said do, he would have to do. And that sometimes is a very hard thing for us. In our own little world, in our own little bubble, we can control. But we don't like it when God is the one in control. When God is the one at the controls. Oftentimes, those problems are the battles that many people lose. Consider, if you would, people that lost the battle in Scripture of God's calling. If you were to go to Luke chapter 18 this morning, you looked at verses 18 through 23, you would read about a man who was called, but he lost the battle. His name was the rich young ruler. And you recall the text of Scripture, it makes it very clear that he was to sell all he had and give it to the poor. And you know what? It was too hard for him. He could not do it. He chose to let the worldly things control his life. Folks, the greatest blessing that you and I can ever experience is to lose the things of this world for the best life that Jesus Christ has to offer for us. The best direction God has for your life. As the hymn writer wrote, that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. All throughout Elijah's ministry, has God taken care of him? You bet He has. Even in the times when Elijah didn't care anything about God, God still took care of him. We need to look at the third aspect of this. Aspect number three is this, Elisha's consecration. Look at verse 21. He said, let me go back and kiss my mother and father, then I will follow you. And I love the promise there. It's not, I'm going to go back and ask them what they think. He makes it very clear, and there's no indication in the text otherwise, I will follow you. I want to ask you this morning, could you say that of your life to God? I will follow you. Wherever you go, whatever you call me to do, I will follow you. Could you say that this morning? The third aspect is Elisha's consecration. Look at verse 21. He goes back, he says goodbye to his family. Then he chooses this, he makes this decision to follow Elijah. Elijah decided that God would be first in his life. Elisha decided that God would be first in his life. Let me ask you something. Is God first in your life right now? With all the things and all that you have going on, is God really number one in your life? Or are you stuck on yourself? Perhaps you're like Elisha. You're looking at all that you have and all that's around you and, oh, well, look at how well I am. Think about this. This man had a lot. Nobody had 12 yoke of oxen. There's a reason that's in Scripture. He was well-to-do. He was a successful farmer. He had it going for him. Why give up what he had going for something he had no guarantee of? I'll tell you something. The greatest guarantee that you have is found in what God promises, not in the promises you can come up with. He makes it very clear that God was going to be first in his life. God ought to be the first in your life every day for the rest of your life. God is not content to be second to our possessions, to people, to family, to events. He needs to be number one. Notice the text of Scripture. So Elisha turned back from him. He took the yoke of oxen, he slaughtered them, he boiled their flesh using the oxen's instrument, and he gave it to the people, and they ate, and he arose, and he followed Elijah. God's call was more important than a position or power to him. And he realized that. Elisha's surrender would give him the position of a prophet of God. If you know anything about Elijah's ministry, there was something that came with being a prophet of God. It was called God's enabling power. Think of all the things that Elijah did in his ministry because of the power of God. And I, no doubt, Elisha had heard of Elijah. He understood what it was to be a prophet of God. We know from the Scriptures, we're not going to go there this morning, but in 2 Kings, we know that Elisha asked for something very specifically of Elijah and God. He asked for a double portion of the blessing, you recall. And we know from Scripture that Elisha would ultimately be more powerful in his ability for the Lord than even Elijah was. But I want to get to why this is so important. Elisha made his commitment public. Elisha made his commitment public. Notice verse 21. He turned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen. He slaughters them. He boils their flesh. I don't know whether that was cubed or steak. But he boils the flesh and he gives it to them to eat. And it tells us in Scripture that he used the oxen's equipment for fire. He broke apart the plow he was using and he burnt it.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.